This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And let's get it going.
Look. I'm just tryna be alright with it, yeah. I'm just tryna be alright with it, yeah. I'm just tryna see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just tryna spend the night with it, yeah. I just wanna be alright with it, yeah.
I don't wanna steal your take, but in crunch time, when you need to stop on defense, they're gonna go to your boy Romeo.
I like it. He was what? Smart, Jalen, Tatum, Tice, and Romeo is the fifth. So you're going with like five guys, 6'4", taller, all with, you know, long wingspans, all with good speed and good defense. As you're closing on him, Brad kind of, I wouldn't say tipped his hand there, but that's the team he's going to go with in crunch time if he needs to stop right there.
Right, yes. But yeah, definitely.
He had been like with seconds left because he is not putting Romeo on the court for an offensive possession just yet.
No. I would guess not. I mean, I thought you were kind of being a little sarcastic there, but I mean, because they're up, it was 109-101 when that happened. So just get him in the game because he can handle himself. But anyways, that's not even remotely like an important thing, I think, coming out of this game. For this to be that close of a game, I know it's the postseason and everything, but you know, the Nets and the Raptors just had it was a blowout game in that one. Yeah, it got close in the third quarter. I was expecting this one to be not necessarily that bad, but I never thought it would be so many times where the Sixers were in it, had the lead. I was not a huge fan of the way the Celtics played tonight. Guys had some bright spots in there, of course. I mean, Tatum getting over 30 points is huge and everything. Kemba was my biggest one, but I'm just curious, what was your biggest drawback at the end of the night?
I think for me, it's the loss of Gordon Hayward, who probably is going to be out for the next, like, I don't know, I'm not playing doctor on this live stream, but 7-10 days. I mean, it looked like a very simple ankle sprain. He rolled it. It wasn't the one where, you know, he shattered his leg in the season opener right. A couple of years ago. So that's good news. It's the other leg, but still, that's something that he couldn't put pressure on it now with adrenaline pumping and immediately afterwards. And he was already ruled out like within 30 seconds. So there's no chance he was going to come back tonight. I don't think he's going to come back for the rest of this round. I don't think there's any reason to. You should be able to handle the Sixers team. Despite how you played tonight, I think I told you before we started the stream, I'd probably give them like this was their C-minus game, D-plus game maybe. Like, they did not play well tonight. And for them to lose Gordon Hayward going forward, that's not good for the series. I don't think it makes the Sixers favorites by any means, but that's my story for the night. The storyline number one for the night is the loss of Gordon Hayward, who looked – good in moments. Again, Matt, he would always point out he's inconsistent, but there was some really good points on, like, on double teams where Gordon was coming down to help Tice on the block with Embiid, had a steal and won the other way. Like, there was some really good possessions there by Gordon where it's not just him spotting up or shooting or making plays in the offensive end. He was playing some good defense too. So it's a loss of Gordon Hayward for me.
I think if you look at Gordon Hayward's line at the end of the night, 12 points, 4 steals, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, his shooting, he was 5 of 13, 2 of 6. I mean, it's, you know, when it's your fourth option on offense, that's fine. That's good, I think. And that's what we've said Gordon kind of is in some ways. I know you don't fully agree with that, but I think that he does a little bit of everything, and we see that with him night in and night out. And that's fine. If that's what you're going to get from him, and you're going to have Jaylen Brown scoring, 29 points, and Tatum's going to be scoring 32, I think, generally speaking, you're going to be in business. I think there were some struggles on the defensive end. And also with Tatum, I know he finished 10 of 21 and was great from the line and everything, but he goes into the final quarter, and he already had 28 points. He finishes the night with 32 points. just not a lot from him there. And how many minutes did he play? That was the one thing I forgot to check. So he ended up with 41 minutes on the night, and he had logged 29 minutes going into that final quarter. For me, that's just one thing where I'm like, what's going on there? Now, I know Kemba did really well in the fourth quarter because he went in with 8, and then he ended up with 19 on the night. And with him, Ty, that's as much as Hayward's probably the big negative coming out of the night, I think Kemba's fourth quarter performance is probably the big positive, because it's, I felt like there was a little bit of conviction to his game, especially during that stretch when they needed him to do it. And we've been talking leading up to the restart and even throughout the seeding games, I thought that Tatum was the guy, and then it's Jaylen Brown, and then Kemba is the number three, as much as he's still a great option to have and still a guy you can, who's obviously plenty capable on offense, just a matter of his leg and everything, how is it going to feel? But in the fourth quarter, he looked great. He looked like the Kemba we expect him to be, I think.
Yeah, and in the fourth quarter there, they could have pulled away if he would have hit some open shots he usually hits. Like, he had on a pick and roll, he got a guy on his hip, like deep in the lane, and he just missed an easy floater. He missed like two or three very easy 10, 12 foot mid-range jumpers. Like, those are shots he normally hits, and his explosion got him to having the open shots and creating it. And, you know, he's crafty as well. And those two things get him a lot of open shots, but he just didn't hit them late in the fourth quarter. He was 7-16, so he didn't play bad by any means, but I'm saying he had open.
In the fourth quarter, he went he could have played better. He could play better in the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, because he went into the fourth quarter 4 of 12 from the floor, 0 for 1 from the line. He didn't make a three-pointer all tonight, but he finished up 5 for 6 from the line, and 7 for 16 from the floor. So he went 3 for 4 in the fourth quarter. So, he was there. He was there in the fourth quarter. Leading up to that, though, you're right. He wasn't.
Must have been in the third then.
Yeah, it must have been in third. But either way, he wasn't what he needed to be. But Jaylen Brown, there were some. I mean, there was one play specifically on the defensive end in the fourth quarter where Tobias Harris got right by him. And I remember Harris flipped out because he thought that Jaylen Brown fouled him and a foul wasn't called against. I mean, he thought that Tatum had fouled him and there wasn't a foul called against him. But all in all, I mean, on the offensive end, he's been great. 9 of 16 from the floor tonight. I think, 6 boards, 29 points. So in 16 of those come in the fourth quarter, or 15, something in that range. So I think right now what you're getting from him is huge. I think the funny thing we saw early on in the game was when Kanter came in quickly and then exited pretty much just as soon as he came in because Joel Embiid went out. And we talked about how matchups are going to play a big part in minutes for Rob Williams, minutes for Enes Kanter, and that showed pretty much right away. But were you worried at all when they pulled Kanter in an instant?
No, I mean, we talked about this three-center rotation they had, and they played, I think, Tice as usual, like 28, 29 minutes. But then they gave 21 minutes to split up between, you know, Rob Williams and Enes Kanter. Just play one of them. Choose one guy. Like, just go with one guy. Play the matchup. Go with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't like the three-center rotation. If you're going to do that, like, doing the regular season, not in the playoffs, like, this team needs shooting on, like, to come off the bench. And they had no one that could do that today. But not to get off the point, like, Enes Kanter can hold his own against Robert Williams or against Embiid. I don't know if Robert Williams can. Like, Robert Williams is a big guy, but he's only like 6'8". Like, I don't know how much
he's skinny.
He's not a massive, like, he's not a center by any means. Like, he's a power forward and probably undersized at that. You know,
but would you rather, are you comfortable with Kanter being out there without a guy who's going to try at least a portion of his game is playing in the paint and posting up? You feel comfortable with him against Horford and all the other guys?
I'd feel more comfortable there than Tice guarding Embiid.
Well, I think Tice is your best defensive center, period. So he's just your best defensive center, period. So why are you going to go and put
– not an Embiid.
Well, you think Kanter's going to be – okay, but I think anybody that's guarding Embiid is going to have their struggles. But at least if Embiid –
I think Kanter would be better on Embiid than Tice would.
Every time.
100%, yeah.
So you'd rather see Kanter get more minutes than Tice in this series?
Tice fouls a ton, and Embiid is great at drawing fouls. And all of the misses that Embiid had today were three-pointers. Like, he couldn't shoot. When he took shots in the lane, he got what he wanted every time. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get that with Enes Kanter. The whole point with Enes Kanter's defense – listen to me when I'm saying on this.
I am listening to you.
The whole point about Enes Kanter's defense is when he gets put in the pick and roll, he's exposed because he has horrible foot speed. horrible. Right. And he doesn't do pick and rolls. Embiid, when he pick and rolls, he picks and pops. He never rolls the basket. So it never exposes his foot speed. Like, what I'm saying is the matchup for Cantor on Embiid is not like a normal Embiid, or I'm sorry, Cantor on a big guy where he can get exposed for being slow. Like, Cantor's slow and so is Embiid. So, like, now we're just talking about strength and IQ and stuff. And at that point, that matchup is better suited for Enes Kanter to guard Daniel Theis. So I'm not saying to get take minutes away from Theis and give it to Kanter, but I'm saying don't give him to Robert Williams. Give him to Kanter. Get in the flow of the game. Enes Kanter had points in tonight's game where he had three offensive rebounds in like 30 seconds that got Marcus Smart back-to-back wide-open threes, which he threw up bricks. Not surprised by that at all. But like, the point is Enes Kanter makes things happen for this team when they can't get offense going tonight. They're not hitting open shots tonight, so what do you need? More reps. How do you get that? Offensive rebounds. Enes Kanter can do things that Theis cannot do, and in this series specifically, I think that Kanter should get more minutes than, what, eight? He played 8 minutes.
Yeah, eight minutes tonight, and Robert Williams got 13.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying about
It does make sense, but my thing is I want to see Theis on the floor, generally speaking, more than Kanter. I mean, if Kanter's riding hot.
I would agree with that. In this matchup, okay. I would disagree, though.
Okay. See, and I think that's where the disagreement is. But if Theis is not on the floor, then I want to see and Joel Embiid still is, then I agree. And I think Matt would say the same thing too. He would still want to see Kanter as the guy guarding Embiid because Robert Williams is going to be ineffective against him. He has no chance.
Right.
But if Embiid is not on the floor and Theis is not on the floor, then the sub that should be in is Robert Williams because he's going to defend. Okay, you agree with that.
See, that, like you said, you have to play the scenarios. How often is Embiid not on the court, Theis not on the court, Al Horford maybe not on the court? Like, is that what we're talking about to play Robert Williams?
If Al Horford's on the court, I'd rather have Robert Williams on the floor.
Because Al Horford – I don't know if I like that. In this – I would not put Kanter on Al Horford, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Al Horford would burn him, yes.
That's what I'm saying. So, but the other thing is
Try and stagger your matchups so it's Embiid, Kanter, and Theis Horford.
Okay. That's what you want to do. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just want to have Theis out there as often as possible because I think.
Start Embiid, be a wall. Don't let him back your ass down and get offensive rebounds.
Don't let him back anybody.
You're playing out there with the starting lineup. Like, you normally play with Romeo Langford and Carson Edwards and these bums out there. But like, you have to keep the scoring lineup. So just go out there, stop Embiid, get offensive rebounds, and like, that's your role. That's it.
But here's the other problem in all this too, is Kanter also is going to stay down in the paint and he clogs things up sometimes. And then he's going to bring Embiid down with him. I'm talking about the offensive end now, because we can't ignore that. As much as Kanter is going to get you the offensive rebounds, Theis is going to help stretch the floor a little bit. That allows a guy like Tatum to drive, or if he wants to kick it out to Theis or somebody else who's open too. We can't ignore that fact either.
I mean, they
look
took
who a ton look of who's joining in the conversation while he's not here tonight.
I was going to say that this team has been shooting a lot of mid-range and threes anyways. So, I mean, they're not doing a great job of getting to the basket. And when they're doing, like, Tatum was doing an awesome job today of floaters. Like, we were talking early in the season, and then even, like, about a week ago, like, when Tatum was really struggling, that, like, he just cannot finish at the rim. But something's changed where he's just, like, not only is he making shots, he's being super creative to get those shots, too, which is
And I think there was a he was on a podcast. I saw somebody tweet this out. I don't know where. You know, I think it was like NBA Central tweeted out. He might have been on Joe Varden's podcast where he talked about – he was complaining about fouls and how he's not getting calls and stuff. And that is smart by Tatum. I think it's to be complaining about that, be vocal, when now everybody has a high opinion of you, especially in the bubble where they think the Celtics are going to do well. Look, I get annoyed with guys complaining, but it's proven that it makes an impact on how they're treated by referees. You have to be vocal. And I think now where you have so many more outlets to do it, I think that's a way to draw attention to it. That's going to help him. I mean, and we've seen him down the stretch. He was getting to the free throw line. I think he was the last guy before Kemba to get to the line, like he was going to the hole. So yeah, but the other, not to gloss over this one either, but the other negative thing, and you were saying to me before we started the show, was your frustrations with Marcus Smart. And Matt's not here to defend his guy, but He did not have his best showing. 0 for 5 from the floor, 0 for 3 from 3. He went 2 for 2 from the line, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals, but one of them was late that last play in the game. So not hit. I mean, I've said it that he's worried me a little bit in the bubble with his defense. His offense is another thing. I always think it's just hit or miss, whatever. I know he's had some stretches. He had some strong stretches throughout the year, but he is 0 for 5. If he's not hitting any and he takes 5 shots in a game, is that too much for you?
No.
Okay.
I thought the night were fine. Like the Enes Kanter offensive rebound, the back-to-back three. The first one, great, fine. Second one, in rhythm, fine. Like, I hate Marcus Smart threes when he's doing in between the legs, trying to be Jason Tatum and then pulling. Like, that's not his game. Spot up or catch and shoot threes are fine. Like, he's not a good enough three-point shooter to be shooting those shots. Like, mm-hmm. He shoots a lot of bad shots for a bad shooter. But my biggest problem is, like, do you know who Mark Titus is? He played at Ohio State, and he's on the Ringer Basketball Podcast, maybe the college one, I think, or used to be.
Okay.
But he wrote a blog called like Club Trillion, and it's all about like trillions mean when you go into a basketball game and you put in literally zeros across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart was almost at a trillion today, like 0.0 rebounds, 0 assists all across the board. Like, he's just turning in nothing. I know, like Matt's saying, he's playing good defense, fine.
Right.
I specifically saw a play today where he went to go box out Daniel Tice's guy because he was the closest one to him rather than box out his guy. So we had Tice and Smart boxing out one guy, which left a wide open sixer to crash the board and get an immediate layup. Like, it's the playoffs, bro. You can't be just boxing out and half-ass boxing out guys that aren't yours because, you know, you want to cover your ass. Like, how about in transition defense, you stick on your guy who was spotting up for three and you let him spot up. Good thing they never saw him. Josh Richardson, he was a good three-point shooter. And then you not only didn't see him, he got the offensive rebound. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know the exact point of the game, but, like, he's just – I don't know if he's not engaged or what it is with him, but, like, I don't see a whole lot of intensity from the Marcus Smart that, like, we're used to seeing.
Okay. Well, if Matt's arguing about his defense like that – no, I mean, I've just had – I don't know. I don't know if it's – I just wonder if it's indecision and he can't get in his flow. There's part of me where I haven't been able to put my finger on it throughout all this, because the play you're talking about where he's not okay. Here we go. Matt's LOLing. Well, next time, Matt, don't be in your car when you're getting ready for the show and you can defend your boy. Maybe on Wednesday, right? We're going Wednesday. The game same time, so we'll be doing the live show. Wow, it ended up being that late, 9:15 ish. Anyways, I don't think Smart's been the same guy he was before the hiatus, but I just wonder if it's. I don't think intensity is the thing that I would necessarily go to. I just wonder if he's trying to do too much and he's not thinking like he normally does. Because Marcus Smart isn't, as much as with his shooting he can be a dumb player sometimes, I don't think that he's a stupid basketball player. One other thing I just wanted to highlight before we get going too, when it came to the numbers and minutes and stuff, Wanamaker only saw 10 minutes. Matt's not going to get to talk about that tonight, but I'm sure he's very excited. Because when we look at the minute distribution, we're seeing as much as Wanamaker was third in minutes off the bench, we got a pretty good idea of what the Celtics rotation is going to be throughout all this. And Robert Williams obviously is a big part of that. He was second in minutes tonight. But
you want to hear these Marcus Smart splits? Oh my God, he's doing horrible. Month of August, 6 games, 23% from the field, 28% from three.
Not ideal.
3.3-1 assist to turnover ratio. That's fine. He's still affecting the game there. He's averaging like 2 steals a game for the month, but man, his shot is broken. It's never been.
And as much as Matt will, and I know it's, I think anybody who appreciates Marcus Smart's game will argue, well, he does what he brings to the defensive end, no one else can bring. And I understand that. I agree with that. But Marcus Smart has always been a guy who helps on, not always. For this year and last year, he has been a guy who makes an impact on the offensive end. And if he's not doing that and he's taking the same amount of shots, now 0 for 5 tonight, I don't mind that. Marcus Smart, in 32 minutes, you can take 5 shots. If you miss them all, that's fine. But if he keeps trying to force it, or if he tries to do more and he's not finding his flow, that's a problem. And when there's an open man, like on that second rebound, you said he was in rhythm on that second, that one time down the floor. We took 2 threes back-to-back after the offensive rebound. Jaylen Brown was wide open. And he's having a great night. I want to see him passing it to him when he's not finding his flow. I don't care if you're wide open.
If he was, then Jalen Brown's the right guy. It's the extra pass, and that's good. Marcus is fine with that, but I have a question about a trend that I'm sensing with the Celtics. I feel like Tatum can score at will, but in fourth quarters, he's starting to disappear, and it becomes the Jalen Brown show. Jalen Brown, who might only have 12 points entering the fourth, Jalen's 24. They'll be even at the end of the game because Jalen Brown will take off and take over in the fourth quarter, whereas Tatum will, you know, he's not like being passive, but he'll make the right play. He'll get double teamed and give it to a Jalen Brown who's open. Like, I don't know if it was the Bucks game or who they played last week, but Tatum had a killer game, dominated, and they did nothing in the fourth. And then Jalen Brown turned around to save their ass. I can't remember what game that was, but I feel like there's a trend here that like it's for three quarters it's Tatum's game, the fourth quarter is Brown's.
I don't hate that necessarily because if he's going and playing well, in Matt's in the comments right now, that's where we keep throwing him up for those who are listening to the audio version of the show. He didn't disappear, Matt, but at the same time, Tatum, my whole thing is because I look at his shooting numbers and he only put up three shots in the third quarter. I know he gets fouled and he's getting to the line and everything too, but with Tatum, I don't mind if he's not putting up those numbers in the fourth quarter, if he's putting up throughout the rest of the game, because I don't think he's passive, like you said, Ty. But what I think is happening is teams are looking at Tatum and it's like, well, if he's doing this throughout the game, he's playing with conviction, he's able to get to the line and all that stuff, they're going to try and stop him. So then why not look for Jalen Brown? Now you bring up the whole he's not getting assist numbers. Well, how many times is he kicking it to Jalen Brown and he's spotting up? Maybe he makes a move and then he goes to the paint and then he scores. And then Kemba Walker, same thing. So that's why whenever Glenn specifically has said you have to have the guy, you have to have that one guy. Yes, of course, that's important. You want to have that one guy who can take it a shot if he's contested at the end of the game and fearless and whatever. I think Tatum can do that. We saw shots that he took tonight late, but when you have other guys who are capable of taking shots in crunch time when the pressure's on and they're open and you're getting double teamed or you have the best defender on you and you can't shake them, why not kick it to them? And Tatum has two guys that he can do that with, no questions asked. I feel almost as comfortable with the ball in Jalen Brown's hand at the end of the game as I do Tatum's if he's going to spot up for a shot. And then the same goes for after what Kemba Walker looked like tonight. For the most part, I feel the same way too. That Clippers game scarred me with him from early on in the season where he goes in the paint and then they're packing it tight near Biggs there. But yeah, so you're right. There is a trend, Ty, but I don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing.
No, of course not. It's almost like Jalen's saving himself because he knows that like they're going to go all out against Tatum to stop what he's doing. And I'll feast if they're going to double team him or hard hedge, then kick it to Tice, then one extra pass, I'm open, you know, that type of thing. I was going to make one extra pointer about Marcus Smart. With Gordon Hayward being out, like, he needs to step it up. Like, he's going to be playing,
yep.
I mean, probably playing the same amount of minutes, but his touches in terms of, like, usage rate, like, in ball handling, he's going to be used a lot more as, like, the distributor. Like, Gordon Hayward, all those times where he's getting pick and rolls in the wings, that's not Marcus Smart. Like, he's going to be playing a huge role in this series coming up, and for him to be put in tonight's effort, I hope he kind of, you know, puts it in the back and forgets about it because they play Wednesday. It's a quick turnaround, and he's got a big role going forward.
The thing with him is he can't look at it as I need to score more if I'm not shooting well necessarily. You have to find ways to
game. Just affect the game, and he's not doing that as much as he used to.
Aside from the defensive end, yes, he needs to figure out ways to impact the offensive end more than he has been throughout the entire bubble. As much as this is not I wouldn't say this should be a satisfying win. I mean, look, in some ways, yeah, the Celtics, like you said, they had their C-minus game, whatever. I would say, yeah, it's probably C. I'm splitting hairs, but they weren't at their best. They were still able to beat the Sixers, but they don't have Ben Simmons. You should be able to beat them four times in this series. We said that, right? Like four times in a row. The refs will lose them a game, I'm sure, or you have an off night, whatever. The thing for them going forward that's a big – but we saw positives. The Jalen Brown was a positive. They were positive with Tatum and Kemba Walker, especially for me, was the big one. The big thing now is if you're not going to have Gordon Hayward, which I would imagine if he's got a right ankle sprain, I got to think that's going to end up being two games. I mean, you said 7 to 10 days. We don't know as of right now. There's been no further diagnosis other than he sat out the rest of the game. This is a huge test for them because not only is it, how's Marcus Smart going to step up, this is – this is what's going to happen in the Raptors series, because that's when his kid is supposed to be born, his son. So what are those Celtics going to look like now? This is actually a good trial run for them to see what this is going to be like, right?
I totally forgot about that timing. He honestly could be done for the next 2 weeks. Like, we could not see Gordon Hayward back until, like, I'm just guessing late in that Raptors series. Like, it could all kind of, the series of events could flow perfectly. He could be out for a while. The injury, the birth of his kid, having to re-quarantine, he has to get a certain number of negative tests in a row to get back into the bubble. By the way, yep. It's nothing in Carolina. I missed a goal here, but whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got the Bruins game. How are them Red Sox doing? Oh, God, unbelievable. But Celtics won, start off 1-0 in the series. They're back in action on Wednesday. We'll be doing the live stream on Twitter like we have been after the game. And it's pretty much right after the final buzzer. And audio version's up the next day. So anything else before we get going, Ty?
No, I think I said Celtics sweep before, but I think you have to amend that now. No Gordon Hayward. They didn't play their best game when they needed to on, you know, game one. So we'll see if they're going to do it in game two. But no Gordon Hayward, I'm officially concerned. I'd say 5 or 6 now for the Celtics.
I had 5 before. I'm going to stick by 5 because now they'll probably lose one game in the midst of all this. Again, I thought the refs weren't going to help him in one game anyways to extend the series, and now I'm certain of it.
Smarter indeed. We'll beat the Celtics on Wednesday. Just literally only shoot layups in the paint. Matt said it with Kai Carlin, like, just only put your ass in the paint and you're going to dominate the game. Simple as that.
Yep, but he doesn't do that. All right, we will talk to you all again on Wednesday live.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be alright with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.